Excerpts from the Sciences of the Humane Scholar, Muhammad Amin Shejo. His soul has been sanctified by Allah. Such was the habit of this venerable humane scholar. His soul has been sanctified by Allah concerning all that he has bestowed upon us of the endless knowledge, which turns heads and makes the fronts bow, glorifying and revering the meanings of the Holy Quran. He filled the heavens with what Allah the Almighty had revealed to him of Quranic scientific knowledge. For it is he who acquitted the noble prophets from all that conflicts with their perfection, impeccability, and their spirit's purity in his book, Impeccability of Prophets. As he explained their high deeds, as a result of which they deserved to receive the message of their provider, they became guides, guided by Allah's light. He also disproved each saying or tale that contradicts the impeccability of our Master Muhammad, communication with Allah and peace are through him, in two books he singled out about the chosen beloved Prophet Muhammad. The first, entitled The Reality of Our Master Muhammad, Communication with Allah and Peace Are Through Him, appears in the 20th century. And the second, entitled Visiting the Prophet's Position, Communication with Allah and Peace Are Through Him, and the Effect of His Love in Elevating the Believed Spirit. As he showed the position of the Prophet's pure companions, which they had held justly, and their being deserving of holding the caliphate by Allah, the Almighty and Master of the creatures, like our Master Abu Bakr, who triumphed over the apostate Arabs, Persians and Romans, and our Master Omar ibn al-Khattab, who completed the conquests, supported the orphans and attached the ties of blood, besides the rest of the four caliphs and the honorable companions. He clarified that their belief in Allah the Almighty and their love for his noble messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, was the source of their knowledge and the reason behind their sublimity and authority over the worlds.
He showed the wisdom folded in the verses of the Holy Quran and hidden in every command ordered by the Great and the Almighty. For he disclosed the meaning of the letters that are reported in the beginning of the fortresses, surahs, which all the Muslim scholars fail to know. Besides this, there is his wondrous revelation of the exordium, al-Fatiha, and the secret behind reading it when communicating with Allah, which had bewildered all the scholars and the holy men. All of this is mentioned in his book, Secrets of the Seven Praising Verses, and his book, Al-Amin, Interpretation of the Great Quran.
He derived the times of the five prayers, communicating with Allah from the Holy Quran, and showed the wisdom behind it, prayer, and the secret of turning towards the Kaaba. Similarly, he derived the proportion of zakat, almsgiving, which is 2.5%, from the Quranic verses. He explained the meaning of piety, seeing by Allah's light, and how to attain it in Ramadan. In the same way, he explicated the meaning of the night of Qadr, and showed the reason of revealing the Quran on that blessed night. He also revealed the secrets of the rites of pilgrimage, and the wisdom behind each ritual that the pilgrim, Al-Hajj, performs. He also showed the way of true believing and clarified that believing in God is not attained only by saying or admitting, but it is a witnessing in its reality, manifesting the meaning of the statement, I witness that there is no God but Allah, and I witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. All that is stated in his book, High Schools of Seeing by Allah's Light, the Jewels of Rules in Explaining the Pillars of Islam.
He solved the problem of fate which puzzled the minds of the scientists and philosophers of Al-Mu'tazila, Necessitarianism, the Greek and the Roman, as well as the scholars and philosophers of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Besides, there is his high understanding of the Almighty saying, "He pardons whoever wills and torments whoever pleases." The Holy Quran, Fortress 3, Al-Imran, the family of Imran, verse 129.
He misguides whoever pleases and gives guidance to whoever wills. The Holy Quran, Fortress 16, An-Nahl, the bees, verse 93. Showing that the obedient one's will is that which truly follows the way of believing, requesting guidance, and avoiding the way of perversity, seeking to reach the reality, the truth, and the right religion. He also explained the freedom of choice, which every man has in this life. He explained in detail the meaning of the 6 days mentioned in the Holy Quran. Your provider is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then he over-controlled their destiny. The Holy Quran, Fortress 7, Al-A'raf, the Heights, verse 54. He also expounded the meaning of the 10 nights and the 7 heavens, which Muslim, Christian, and Jewish scholars could not know. That is in his book, The Great Scientific Discovery, The Astonishing Reality of the 6 days and the 7 heavens.
By sound logic, he elucidated the great praise which God's messenger, communication with Allah and peace are through him, deserves in Abasa Fortress. He frowned. When the noble messenger, the owner of great morals, frowns as Abdullah ibn Maktum comes to him, while all the interpreters put God's messenger in the wrong position when interpreting the beginning of this noble fortress.
He clarified the meanings of all the fortresses reported in the Amma part of the Quran and explained the word Amma in inimitable detail in his book, Interpretation of Amma part of the Quran.
He also showed the reality and the compassion that are folded within the case of polygamy, reported at the beginning of Al-Nisa' Fortress, Women, when he solved this problematic case and refuted each saying that causes Islam to look like a lustful religion by allowing man to marry 4 women as a result of not returning to the noble verse, reading it as a whole, and scrutinizing its course. For a Muslim is not permitted to marry more than 1 woman, but as for marrying the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th one, it is not allowed except within the conditions reported at the beginning of the noble verse, and which have been neglected and removed from use. The noble verse stipulates that the woman should be a widow with orphans, so the purpose of polygamy is a humane and lofty one. It is to maintain widows and bring up orphans in such a way as to build a sound society, and it is not a spiritual lustful one, as interpreted by many people who put the verse into effect without returning to the beginning of it. And with that, they have created a bad reputation for Islam and Muslims, because religion appears to be a lustful, inhumane one in their eyes because of polygamy. He also revealed the laws of divorce, deriving them from the Holy Quran, and revealed the way to fulfill these stipulations and rules in case of recalcitrance on the part of the wife and the rising of discord between the 2 mates. All of this is stated in his book, Islam, What is the Veil For? What is Divorce For? What is Polygamy For?
He elucidated the Almighty's aim behind creating the creatures, and the reason for creating man, and his coming to this world, where he indicated Al-Azal world, the first creating, offering trust, and undertaking of man to bear it. He also answered the puzzling question, which is, why are prophets born as prophets? And what criteria does the Almighty depend on to choose them as prophets and noble messengers before they are born? He explained the godly justice and demonstrated it in lofty logic. And he also showed the reasons for poverty, sickness, afflictions, and all that may befall man in this world of good or evil. And besides, he stated the elements which man is composed of in a remarkable explanation, where he spoke about the difference between the soul and the spirit, and between the thought and the mind, so revealing the quiddity of each. That was when the famous British scholar, Sir John Godolphin Bennett, professed Islam at the hands of him, as he, Sir John, went to him to ask him his questions, which were difficult for him and for all other scientists and scholars. The meeting was in Damascus City, where Sir John Bennett asked him important questions and inquired about all that crossed his mind concerning Islam and its pillars, and about fasting, pilgrimage, zakat or almsgiving, and the wisdom behind each, until the scholar asked him, saying, "Do you, sir, know the source of the water you drink?" Sir John Bennett replied that the rainwater is the main source of drinking water. Then the scholar replied to him, saying that rainwater is for plants and animals, and he revealed to him, with cogent evidence, the sources of spring water across the whole world, deriving his demonstration from the Holy Quran, and told him that the running of big and small rivers on the surface of the earth is not ascribed at all to rainwater, a reply which is something unknown by any of the Eastern and Western scientists. Rather, it is a great scientific miracle which shows that the water of these springs has greater and more opulent sources than rainwater, for the scholar demonstrated with more than 30 scientific pieces of evidence derived from the noble verses that the ice of the North and South Poles is the source of the water of all the springs. And when Sir Bennett heard about such research from him and discussed it with him, he immediately confessed Islam and said, "I wonder how this question has never crossed my mind before." And when he returned to his country, he repeated his famous words before a crowd of scientists and educated professors. "Indeed, all what we have obtained of the sciences do not equal the sea of sciences of that great scholar in the Orient."